So, folks, would you like to turn to Joshua chapter 3? Joshua chapter 3. My title for tonight is Confidence for the Future. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. In our text tonight, at the end of verse 4, Joshua gives to the people of God the word that the Lord has given to him. And the little bit of it that I really want to emphasize tonight is the last little bit of that instruction. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. Now, I'm sure that we all know about the history of the people of God so far, in their journey towards the Promised Land. And you'll also remember that originally 12 spies were sent out to spy out the Promised Land, and when they returned, 10 of them gave not very good reports, and only two of them, gave good reports. Because of the bad reports that were given, a revolt occurred among the people. They rebelled against Moses, and they rebelled against God. And because of their rebellion, God said that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and not one of those living at that time would enter the Promised Land. The only exceptions were Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who had given a favorable report. So the whole generation of people spent the next 40 years in the desert, wandering around in circles because of their unbelief and rebellion towards God. And during that time of going around in circles, God's people became very familiar with the wilderness. And even though it wasn't really God's perfect purpose that they should be there, they got used to it. They knew the landscape off by heart. They frequently crossed old tracks and visited the same places. They became familiar with this little plot of land that they were wandering through. And of course, they had come out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, but they were just going up and down in the wilderness, wandering around in circles. And in our text tonight, they've come to the edge of the shore of the Jordan River, and they've never been at this spot before. They've never crossed the Jordan before. They'd experienced 40 years of familiarity with the wilderness and wandering around in paths they knew all too well, sights many of them had continued to see from their childhood. But as they stand beside the River Jordan, they're on new territory. They're on new ground. They're anticipating facing new difficulties in the days that lie ahead, and a new series of events will lie ahead of them. And I believe it's easy to make a comparison from this event to us today as we stand at the beginning of a new year. We too will face strange paths. We too will go through new experiences. We too will be asked by God to travel through new territories that we've never seen before. Throughout the desert experience of 40 years, these people of God must have fretted and worried and become anxious many times. And so now they stepped back from the brink of crossing over into God's land of promise, and they ran away from it. They seemed to have forgotten that it was for this very reason that it had taken them 40 years for a journey that should have taken a matter of weeks, or even at the very longest, a few months. But as they stand before the Jordan, God says to them, "You will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before." And as we stand in a place where we've never been before, and are about to embark upon a journey we've never taken before, there is a danger that we too can become anxious and fretful, and fear of the unknown can grip our hearts and our lives. But I want to strongly emphasize the importance of faith and trusting God on our journey here on earth. A distrustful, fretful Christian, an anxious and worrying child of God, is really a pitiful sight to see. And the reason is because, more than anything else, that robs God of his glory. The glory that he is a great Jehovah who can guide us through the pilgrim land. The glory of his word that tells us that God is trustworthy. That he's a God who provides, Jehovah Jireh. And that he will bring us through whatever difficulties there are. It was the Israelites' distrust for 40 years in the wilderness which dishonored God. Yet despite their disobedience, and despite being under God's judgment for those 40 years, they had seen God's faithfulness to them many times. They had seen God provide manna and quail every day on that long journey. They had seen him provide water and shelter for them. They had seen him heal their sicknesses and ensure that their clothes and footwear never wore out. George Muller, that great pioneer of faith, who had a remarkable trust in God, said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." Excuse me. Now, I don't know what trials any of you are going to go through as we meet here tonight, but one thing I do know, a common trial that we will all face in the days that lies ahead, is a fear of the unknown. But now I'm going to use a six-letter word that strikes fear into a lot of Christians' hearts. Now, just hold tight and be ready for this, because this is a word that really does strike terror in a Christian's heart. And that word is change. Yeah, I've said it. That's it now. I've said it. Now, we all know change in some small or large way as we move into the new year. And I think that within all of us, there's an inbuilt fear of change. We like to build our little nest around us, and we want to live and die in that little nest. Even if the circumstances that we're living in at the moment are unsatisfactory and are very difficult, well, it's better the devil we know than the devil we don't, isn't it? We don't want to be launched into even deeper problems, or even different problems. Perhaps we've become quite used and comfortable to the problems that we're in at the moment. I wonder whether some fear what the new year holds for them. Maybe you fear new truths that God will reveal to you and that you will have to be obedient to. Many people fear spiritual attainments. What if God should come into my home or into my church in real revival power and I'll be shoved out of my comfort zone and my spiritual lukewarmness? Maybe you fear that God will lead you out in a new work he's never asked you to do before. Full-time service for the Lord in some shape or form. Going out as an evangelist. Working among young people or children. I don't know what it is. But all of these fears, no matter what they may be, exercise an awful influence on the child of God. But we're not given a spirit of fear. And I know it's very easy to say these things, but change too often can hold upon us a paralysis that prevents us going on for God and going into the service and into the depths and fullness that God would want us to go into. There is an old saying, if Satan can't stop us getting converted, he'll do all in his power to get us diverted. One of the greatest ways the evil one can divert us is to give us all these fears of the unknown certainties that are ahead of us in the days and years and decades that lie ahead. Just remember that the people of God, as any fresh emergency came into view, had new orders from God. When there was a new trial and a new path, God came in by his Spirit and gave them divine direction. We will always have the leading and the guidance and the direction of the Spirit if we will but wait for it. And if we'll cry out to the Lord like the psalmist, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." Just like the children of Israel, we have seen how God has provided for us. Look at this building here. God provided this building in miraculous ways, and over the last 5 years we've seen him lead us, guide us, and provide for us in truly amazing ways. We're in a bigger and better building. Our service and our teaching and the way we do church has changed. We have a great community involvement, and every single day of the week there is some activity going on in this building. So what is there to be afraid of? Our God is amazing. He's all powerful, and he's promised he'll never ever leave us nor forsake us. But there are a couple of things that I want us to see today, and if we take them to heart, I believe that God will deliver us from the fear of the unknown and bolster us with courage for whatever the year holds. The first thing that we need is to seek the word of God. If you look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, you will see it says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God has commanded Joshua to be around the book of God morning and night, devoting time in prayer to God, meditating upon the word of God. And it may be simplistic to you, but I believe that the Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who's not falling apart. If you want to have a really blessed new year, not without trials, but knowing the presence and power and guidance of God in the midst of your trials, then I urge you at the beginning of the year to get into the word of God day by day. Yeah. It may help to use daily readings like Word for Today or a yearly Bible guide. There are copies of Word for Today on the table at the back. Please feel free to take one. There is also a yearly guide that Joan used last year. Please take that if you would like it, with Joan's compliments. Regularly getting into the Word of God will ensure that he'll guide you through it. We need it. Surely you know we need it. But if we don't know what's ahead of us in an unknown future, then we need God's guidance, which he'll freely give us if only we'll seek him. God said to these Israelites, "You've never been to this place before. You've not passed this way before." In the same way, he says to us, "You've never been in this place before." This new year is exactly that, a new year. So it makes sense that if we've never been here before, we're going to need the Lord's guidance and presence as we step out each day. When we read the word of God and pray to the Lord and meditate upon his word and have communion with the Lord, do you know what happens? We actually put God into our situations, and God paves the way before us. He goes before to direct, and we must follow because God knows the way. God leads the way and God opens the way. The second thing I want you to see is that we need to look to the ark of God. We need to seek the word of God, but we need to look to the ark of God. Whoops. Come on, off you go. Oh dear. That's it. I got the keyboard up. In the second half of verse 3 it says, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it." The significance of that is that when the ark of God was at rest in the camp of Israel, it was always in the middle of the camp. It was right in the very middle. I'm sure you've seen those pictures of the tabernacle and with the ark of covenant in the tabernacle, and all the tribes of Israel camped around it, around the ark in the wilderness. So when the ark was at rest, it was in the middle of the people. When the people were in procession and marching, the ark of God would be in the center of the procession, right in the middle of the people as they went about to their next destination. Well, we're in the New Testament times, and now we no longer have the ark of God. Despite what Thingamy Jones, whatever they called him in Indiana Jones, would have you believe, the ark of God is no longer about. So how do we follow the ark of God, which signifies the presence of God amongst his people? Well, now we have Jesus, who is the Son of God and who dwells amongst his people. So if you're going to go into the unknown new year, you need to seek the word of God, but you need to always keep your eyes upon the ark of God, that is Jesus. You won't go far wrong this year if you keep your eyes on the Lord, and above all, and above all things, that will lead you to victory. Seek the word of God look to the ark of God, and finally trust yourself to the providence of God. This was a place that they'd never been before. Well, Joshua had been there before, and so had Caleb. Remember also that these two were among the multitude that passed through the Red Sea. However, the majority of the rest of them were a fresh generation, born in the wilderness. They'd no personal experience of the Red Sea. They'd no faith prepared by the great miracle that had been seen in the parting of the Red Sea. Some put a lot by experience, and they're probably right to do so. But experience isn't everything, because experience can never help you through an experience that you've never experienced before. The ground where you have been, where you've never been before, is no help when all you're basing your life on is the experience. As they stand at the brink of the Jordan, they see the river full to the brink, and they ask the question, how are we going to cross it? There was nothing with which to cross it. They got no canoes in the tents. They hadn't time to build an ark. And they stood on the shore and thought, well, suppose we do cross it. Well, when we go into this great walled city of Jericho, there are terrible enemies, men like beasts behind it, and they'll destroy us. And suppose we do defeat the people and the men of Jericho, there are hundreds more cities just as ferocious and wicked as Jericho, and we're never going to wipe all that lot out. The situation might naturally provoke a thousand fears, but it is faith and trust in the providence of God that drove all their fears away. God sent his consoling word, and in their time of need, they were given faith to be tried, and God sustained them by his power. And there's no sign here of them running back away as they did 40 years previously. Isn't that wonderful? Are any of us in a place like that? Are you in a place today where you've never been before? Are the demands upon you heavier than any previous time? Is your faith tested more than it's ever been? Maybe you fear all of these things as a load of tragedies could lie ahead of you this year. This year may be unknown to you, but it's not unknown to God. Have you ever realized that? If you ask the Israelites, how did you get here? They'd probably say, well, we didn't just come here. We followed this fiery, cloudy pillar, and we watched by day and night and followed it wherever it went, and God brought us here. Well, it's God that's brought you here this new year. And whatever you will come across your path, you need to see that God's providence never brings us to a wrong place. He never makes mistakes. If you only see the circumstances with the eyes of fear, then you'll fall. But if you see it with the eyes of faith, you'll see that you're in the best possible position, that God always chooses the best for his people. And just remember, this year's untrodden path is new to you, but it's not new to God. God doesn't know the word yesterday. God doesn't know the word tomorrow. He only knows the word today. Where you will be tomorrow, he is today. And 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 years ago, he knew your trial and your sorrow. It's never new to him. What is a new path to you is an old path to God. But even better than that, look higher up. Look to the very throne of God. And there at the right hand of God sits Jesus. And we see one who not only knows the path that you will go, which is new to you, but he's gone through it himself. Isn't that amazing? He's gone through your darkness and whatever it may be before you. And as he's gone through it, he's sown it with light so that it will not be as difficult for you. Now, I think that is amazing. But, like the little comedian used to tell us, there is more. It's not only is it not new to God, but it's not new to the people of God. Joseph and Caleb had trodden this path before as they'd gone through the Red Sea. And don't ever think that your troubles are peculiar to you. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 we read, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. If the Israelites knew that the way they were going was going to lead them back into Egyptian slavery, they would have been right to say to God, "Nope, we ain't going that way." But they knew that it would end in a land flowing with rivers and land flowing with milk and honey. And isn't that the same for us? Whatever this untrodden, unknown year holds, if we seek God's words and look to the ark of God that is Jesus and trust in the providence of God, it will bring glory to God. Just look at verse 7. "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. I'm confident of this: if you go on that untrodden way with faith, and if you say, Lord, whatever will magnify Christ, I'll go through anything, I'll give up everything to glorify him, then God will be glorified." Yes, this new year will bring new challenges, but it will also bring new experiences of God. Some of the changes that will come about this year are going to be changes that we would never even have thought about. Some of the changes that are going to go on this year are going to be so amazing that you can't believe it. Almost as amazing as me stood here without my suit on preaching. Told you I'd get a sermon illustration out of it. But let's welcome this new year as the opportunity to go with God and to see him glorified. Because as the song says, "I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side." Amen.